listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure
enough. Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 126, or now I just lost it, 127 of Geek Watch 1. It's been a while since I messed it up. Hey, I messed it up. That's right. I messed it up just in honor of you coming back, Miss Dawn, so you had a chance to correct it.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back, Miss Dawn.
Thanks.
No more hiding out in the wilds of Canada?
Well, not for another week or two, I think.
Well, Geeksters, we got a bunch of show news we need to get out of the way, but today is going to be a relaxed day because it's been a while since the four of us, the OG Geek Watch 1, was able to just sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
True.
We've been so busy, and this is going to be the last one we have like this probably for a little while still because we got a bunch of other stuff coming up in the future.
At the con, there's the Odd Mall, and you got holiday stuff coming up. So.
Mm-hmm. So,
Halloween, more trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah. Well, since, Dawn, you've been back in town for at least a week. Did you guys do anything geeky, or have you just been decompressing all week?
We've been catching up on shows. Mm-hmm. I watched some while I was away, but Kylan didn't get to watch all of them because he was a social butterfly, apparently.
I was not, apparently, no, because I was busy.
But
I was busy.
We also rewatched season one of Stranger Things because it's coming up on the weekend.
Oh yeah, I need to see
season two.
I'm hoping at some point to be able to see that this week. If not, I have another podcast that's actually going through and watching and doing a watching each episode and doing a post show afterwards, so I'll be able to remember everything that happened.
I did see that one on Twitter with every episode they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was interesting because they also did a actually, I'm going to plug it because I plug them anyway. But Geek Out Loud has been doing Steve Glosson from there actually went with one of the co-hosts from the Techno Retro Dads, Shaz Bazaar, and another friend of theirs actually did a road trip around Georgia because they're from Georgia area to some of the filming locations from, season one of Stranger Things. And they've been doing blog posts about that epic road trip, and they did a show about it. But this entire week, they're doing every day until the new season starts, he's doing a rewatch of the entire first season and then doing a recap show afterwards. So,
easy to do because at least they only had, what was it, 8 episodes?
Right.
Yeah.
So pretty easy to do.
So, Hawkins, Indiana is actually in Georgia.
Yes. And actually, their blogs and actually listen to the show recapping their epic road trip, one of the locations, mm-hmm. I guess it was the junior high, I think, for Hawkins Middle School, happened to be when they were there. Mm-hmm. It was a filming location for Ant-Man and Wasp also. So they ended up on set or backstage on set for Ant-Man and Wasp without realizing what it was because they were actually looking for the Stranger Things sets.
I tell you, Georgia.
Keep your eyes open in the movie then if you've seen Stranger Things. When Ant-Man and Wasp comes out, you'll recognize the school, apparently.
That's true. I mean, I don't know what deal Georgia signed, but...
Tax breaks.
Yeah, Georgia... Georgia's been hot for about 15 years. Ohio's heading that direction. It's just... Georgia, I don't think, has a top on how much money they give to tax breaks. Ohio has a cap on it right now.
Well, it's also the way that they do with hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's very, it's the only ones that do it.
What, how they do it? What's the difference? Do you know?
It has to do with SAG and not SAG and the wages and stuff.
Oh, it could be like a right to work thing or something. I don't know. I'm not a union guy.
Georgia in general, a state, is very similar to Ohio in the sense that it has a lot of varied looks depending where you travel in the state.
That's true.
So
you actually have the big city and you have rural, very small town. Like you, it's the same sort of thing you get in Ohio. So I think that's why it works for Georgia too.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, when exactly does Stranger Things start? Do you remember off the top of your head? It's the 28th, maybe?
I think it's the 27th.
It's probably the 27th. Yeah. So, I don't, I'm trying to think, am I going to have enough time to actually watch it?
There's one additional episode this year. I think it's 9 episodes this time.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh wait, no, that 28th is our next Meeplecast. So we'd have to do
the
week, so the week after that, we'd have to do it. So I have a whole week to watch it.
There's no way we can watch Friday night through noon on Saturday and get all of them
done. There's no way.
So Geeksters, be ready on November 8th probably is going to be our Stranger Things show. So, but also next week,
we do Vikings like 3 weeks after that.
Yeah. Well, no, we're only going to see the first episode of Vikings though.
Vikings starts on the 29th.
Yeah, but it's just one episode.
But we still have to talk about it.
Yes.
Well, yeah, of course we're going to talk about it. I mean, come on.
No. I found a podcast behind the scenes of Vikings.
Yeah. The History Channel actually is putting it out.
It's spoilers ish.
Yeah. So the History Channel is doing their own podcast on Vikings. Mm-hmm. Well, so it'll be
Hearst and all those other guys that are behind it on there.
So
they're in the process of filming season 6 already.
Yeah, that show's been doing awesome for them. Mm-hmm. Well, remember for next week though, for our show that's going to be out on November 1st is our Meeplecast on the 28th at October 28th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This should be before trick or treating. Most trick or treating starts at like 4 or 5 now, still, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think all the scheduled ones are like 5 to 7 or 6 to 8. So.
Okay, well, come out to the Malted Meeple, hang out with us. Maybe we'll come up with a spooky theme of some sort, since it's like 3 days before Halloween.
Oh, yeah, and in case it's confused, people who are outside of this area, at least Northeast Ohio has a messed up way of doing Halloween where they decide to schedule it on the Saturday or Sunday before the actual date falls during a school night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
They mess it up for kids everywhere. The rest of growing up, it was on the 31st regardless. and it was always the 31st. So now they mess it up for both kids and parents because you have to make sure you don't go out and have fun on that Saturday night.
That's true.
Well, you're get home giving out candy.
The 28th also, not just the Meeplecast, but anybody who may not be trick-or-treating, down in Canton, there's an event that's actually kind of a spooky event also. It's at Canton Palace Theater starting at what time did we say it was? 6:30 come down. Our friend Seth Breedlove, who we've had on the show multiple times with the Small Town Monsters movies, has his two movies that he made this year are premiering on the Canton Palace Theater on the big screen. He has the Mothman of Point Pleasant and the Invasion on Chestnut Ridge double play. For one ticket price gets you into both movies. It's 6:30 on the 28th of October. Come out, hang out. These are documentaries basically telling the actual legends, not just not embellishing on it. He doesn't add anything to it. He doesn't pull any he doesn't make any distinctions or any decisions about whether or not it actually happened. He just tells you the legend
or what people say happened to them.
Exactly.
And
also
play with Bigfoot.
Huh? Exactly. You come out,
you
will
never know what monsters might show up.
Well, he has a Sasquatch that will be there to take pictures and shake hands and whatever you need. And I happen to know the Bigfoot.
Sasquatch sighting.
That's right. And you guys just saw the picture of the mask, and this Sasquatch is going to look awesome.
It's not a mask. We saw a picture of Sasquatch's face.
Yes.
Wait, it was an Ewok.
It was a giant Ewok.
Yes, it's pretty big for an Ewok, but hey.
Think about it. That'd be awesome for like next year's Halloween. To take that Sasquatch look and make a gigantic like Ewok outfit to put on top of it.
Yeah, make the leather tunic.
I wanted to do that so bad. I wanted to make a costume and just run around squealing.
We could do that for you still. We just haven't done it. Well, at least
I think about the Sasquatch from the $6 Million Man, the one that was on it.
I just think about the one from the Jack Links commercials. Just give him the damn beef
jerky. Oh, Don, that would be great. I think I'm going to have to make sure I have a piece of beef jerky with me.
That's right. I know that they're always mean to him. They're playing pranks on him, but he always gets them back because he wants the beef jerky.
Yep.
So just give him the beef jerky.
I don't know. Mine is always, my favorite has always been Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Because he's a Boy Scout Sasquatch. There you go.
Well. That and John Lithgow was also in that movie.
That I always liked that movie when I was a kid. I did like that movie.
I've never seen it.
What?
Just be an Ewok that goes around eating people.
I've never seen Harry and the Hendersons.
You should see that movie at least once.
Have you ever seen Roadhouse?
Not yet. It's on the list.
Okay, then. Okay, yeah, see,
we should have our own double feature watching Harry and the Hendersons and Roadhouse.
Those two movies go together so well.
I'll make a pot of chili.
There we go.
I found a new chicken chili recipe.
Yeah, she's making that this week. But I'm thinking in the future from there, we know that's next week's show is going to be recorded live at the Multimedia Meeple. The week after that, we'll have Stranger Things. The week after that is Con on the Cob. And this year's Con of the Cob is going to be epically awesome, especially the Geekwatch 1 party at Con of the Cob.
How in the world did you miss the most important event of the entire month? How in the world did you miss the most important event of the entire month?
Because I figured you'd stop me and throw it in there.
What?
November 3rd is Kylan's birthday.
That's right.
I thought we were still Halloween.
3 weeks.
He celebrates for almost the entire
night. Yeah, 3 weeks from November 1st through November 21st. Yeah, 1st through 21st. That's right.
That way you stop right before Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
that might be overkill to celebrate during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I can't celebrate during Thanksgiving. Not, once I hit 50, the whole month is mine. You know, baby steps.
Well,
also have the additional talk on the show will end up being about Punisher as well eventually because we finally got a date for that. So
that's actually
be a show coming up as well.
That's coming Thanksgiving, isn't it?
It's the 17th.
17th, yeah. So we're going to have a Marvel heavy month because you got Thor Ragnarok.
That's true. Thor Ragnarok's out the same.
My birthday.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes,
that's right. So you got Thor Ragnarok, you got
We have Stranger
Punisher.
Things, Thor Ragnarok, Punisher, Con on the Cob.
Justice League is coming out on the 17th also.
On the same day as Punisher. That's why everyone's staying home to watch Punisher instead.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I have to admit, I'm like,
that was kind of gutsy that Marvel was just like, we'll put it out on the 17th.
That was a gutsy move on Marvel's part. I'm just like, okay.
But hey, if you've seen the 8-minute Justice League trailer, you've seen the movie anyway.
I have not.
That is one of the stupidest releases I've ever
seen. It's sort of like I've gotten to where I don't.
Did they put that out? Or was that a fan edit?
No. That was 8 minutes because there was a hell of a lot of footage in there.
Yeah, well, what it is the first half was the new episode, was the new trailer. The second half was all just the original trailer.
But if you watch the entire thing, though, you've basically seen the movie. With the new footage they put out plus the original trailer, there's not much more to find out.
Yeah, there's a lot there. We still have to find out who number 7 is. Hmm? Remember, all the original media.
We all know
stuff,
it's Green Lantern.
Well, we're still holding out hope for Martian Manhunter.
Big Bang Theory has some really whack job promotion going on right now, and in the background is the Green Lantern logo.
Along with
everyone else, so that's already in the Justice League posters.
Hey, you know what?
Razor.
It seems like that a lot of stuff that's been pushing just Justice League in general, you have Cyborg and you have Green Lantern in there.
Green Lantern.
Yeah, but see, usually...
Other Justice League stuff.
Other Justice League stuff, yeah. That non-movie related stuff, because usually you don't get Cyborg in with the Justice League.
Well, the thing
League.
I find interesting is they got rid of the whole Unite the Seven tag months ago, and no one's bringing it up.
Right.
That's what I was talking about. Who is that number 7? It looks like Green Lantern.
It looks like it should be Green Lantern, and I don't know if they took away that whole promo to get people surprised again because they're hoping they forgot there'd be a 7, or if when the directors switched and the cut got redone, they decided against it because I know they made some changes.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Then they realize, oops, they can't count and they have more than 7.
Right. We're going to have a whole bunch of people show up now.
That's right.
But yeah. But hey, we're only a couple weeks away from finding out.
That's right. I'm excited about this. I think even people that are just think Justice League is okay are kind of excited about this, because this is something that people have wanted for eons. I know, Kylan, you're probably not all excited about it, but
I
mean, it'll be nice to finally get them the big group on screen together.
Yeah.
Even if the Flash, even at this point, sucks.
Yeah, the Flash looks
really
weird.
I hate Ezra Miller in general. So I don't know what it is about him. I just can't stand him. And so I'm really kind of anti-Flash at this point, aside from the fact that I hate the TV show now, too. So it doesn't go well.
See, I would be excited to see the Trinity finally on the big screen.
But we did already.
We did see that.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
in that bad movie, that Batman and Superman loving each other movie, that one.
Yeah, it wasn't really them. Not really.
Well, I'm hoping that with Superman returning from the grave in this, we'll actually get Superman.
I don't think you're going to get... Look, see, here's the thing, dude. The other Superman is the one who sells tickets. Boy Scout Superman does not sell tickets. And I know that Boy Scout Superman isn't real Superman, but if they want to sell tickets, you're going to have the Superman that takes people out.
Well,
because
the thing is that... Yeah, they can't change it at this point, the way their movie universe is developing.
Right.
It's not really going to change enough to make it more like the earlier Superman.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because what it is, the general audience out there, the general movie-going audience isn't going to be as accepting as the way the comic fans are what they did with Rebirth. Because Rebirth, they just brought back the original and had them both there for a while and killed off the new Superman.
Right.
You can't do that in a movie because people will be a little confused.
And the other thing is, though, like, the way the overall feel of Batman and even Wonder Woman, even though that movie wasn't as dark, just the overall feel of those movies, a lighter Superman wouldn't work with them together.
No.
Yeah.
You have to have a balance there. And if Wonder Woman is going to be the lighter side of that.
Well, I think I'm hoping now that they're making you're going to have a lighter Flash. I think that's obvious from the trailer anyway.
Right. Yeah.
I think Cyborg's supposed to be on the lighter side, too.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be buddies.
Right. Yeah.
So, and Cyborg better be on the light side. I swear, if they totally dark down Cyborg, even I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, I know they've said...
They better have a booyah at some point.
Even Zack Snyder was saying that Batman v Superman and Man of Steel were heading towards the dark, as dark as they go. And Batman v Superman is supposed to be the darkest point in the DC universe. From here, they're supposed to climb out of that. Which, I don't know. We'll find out. I think Joss Whedon has had a lot more effect on this movie than people initially thought anyway.
Yeah, it came out that there were a lot more changes he was making that people didn't realize he would.
Yeah.
Even when Zack Snyder was kind of back in fighting form and ready to go back to work, he was not going to touch what Joss had done.
Yeah. And also, I guess there's whole parts like, I guess Darkseid was supposed to have a lot larger part in the movie than what he actually has now. And Josh had actually cut some of that out. Also, there's some Luther stuff that was cut out.
Right.
Well, we all know if it's Joss Whedon, we know one thing that we're going to just be prepared for.
Someone's going to die.
Somebody's going to die.
No, and it's not just going to die. It's going to be a random out of nowhere death.
That's true. Completely pointless, random. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like how they took out Jimmy. Which made no sense at all.
Yeah.
Well, that you got.
We did have Jimmy Olsen.
You go back to this one's still a sore spot, even 10, 15 years later, is that the way they took out Wash?
Oh, yeah. We don't want to talk about that.
We're
safe.
No.
We still don't talk about that.
Hey, but Wash can be brought back to life. It's okay.
I don't know. No. The Firefly universe is a lot harder to do something like that.
Yeah. They don't bring people back to life.
No. That universe is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've continued the stories in comics, and he's most definitively dead. Like, everyone who has died is still dead.
Yeah.
Actually, since we're talking DC a little bit, let's talk Titans for just a second, because I think Titans have made a 100% perfect casting choice. Did you see this earlier this week, Dawn?
Beast Boy?
The new Beast Boy casting for the Titans TV series. This kid looks like Beast Boy.
Yes.
Or at least the Beast Boy from the cartoons. The new Titans series, which is coming to the... DC access or DC app whenever they're launching it has cast Ryan Potter. The biggest thing that the wide audience are going to know him from is from Big Hero 6. He was Hiro Nakamura in Big Hero 6, the voice. But he's been in all kinds of Nickelodeon and Disney shows. But this kid looks like Beast Boy from the neck up.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a look. Look him up online. And I mean, you don't even have to remember his name. Just look up Beast Boy casting. And,
yeah.
I think they've got it. So it depends on his energy, too. Based on what he's done with voice work and stuff, he seems to have that level of energy for the craziness of Beast Boy.
So it's going to be interesting to see now, because they've cast the four characters that they said that they told us were going to be in the show. Now we got to see who are they adding to it from there. Because they've cast Dick Grayson, they've cast Raven and Starfire and Beast Boy. Those are the ones they announced when they announced the show. But we know we have Hawk and Dove also. Now, who else are they going to add to this? I still hold out that we might be getting...
McGann?
Possibly. McGann was from Young Justice, though. I don't think she was ever part of Titans. But I'm still holding out hope because that original team of Titans still had Kid Flash on it. Since this is Berlanti doing this, I want to see the kid who does Kid Flash on the Flash TV series possibly change shows and tie this in.
It's going to be Jericho.
He's going to be on Arrow this season.
Right, that's the reason why it's going to be Jericho. They'll bring him in. Is he going to be Jericho or Ravage?
See, if they make it Kid Flash, then they take him out of an entire network.
Right.
If they use the one that's on the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because they could do he could do crossover back and forth later on if they need. Because really, on the Flash TV series, Kid Flash isn't needed there. It's like the Flash is the speedster there, and he's got all the other he's got Vibe and he's got Killer Frost and all these other ones that are there. They don't need Kid Flash on that show. It's awesome to have him there, and it's great to see Wally West on there.
Right.
But something like this, an ensemble show, they need a speed. You need a speedster. It's a DC show. It's a DC ensemble.
He did show up working Legends, though.
Yeah.
He did.
Last week.
Yeah, in the premiere of Legends.
Yeah.
So, what'd you guys think of the premieres? Dawn, you didn't like Flash, obviously.
I didn't even watch Flash. I'm done with it.
Okay.
Once I get to the end of the season, if I'm not happy with it, I'm done. I didn't even bother. Flash and Supergirl off my list.
Ah. Well, Flash is supposed to be a... go in a totally different direction this season. It doesn't have a speedster villain, and it's supposed to be actually the lighter season, more season one style Barry,
which I would definitely hate. Yeah, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you like your shows dark and brooding a little bit more.
A little bit. Although I out of the shows from the beginning since it started, Legends has been my favorite out of all of them. I think it's just the ensemble nature and the types of characters they have.
Yeah,
I've just liked Legends more.
I can't wait.
So I like what they did this week with the premiere. I thought that was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, did you see the second episode yet?
Yeah, the was it the circus one? Was the second episode?
Circus one was second one. Yeah, yeah. With Billy Zane as
the first one was Caesar.
Yeah, we've seen both of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second one, I loved this season. Seeing Billy Zane as P.T. Barnum was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a good job.
And like we've said since Legends started, the great thing about Legends is it's the show where there are no rules. This is just straight up comic book, have fun and see what happens.
But yeah. The fact that they actually address the idea of time anomalies, that if you screw with time enough, something's going to break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they have to fix it. I like that time travel aspect of it.
So, since we're just sitting here talking, Dawn, what do you have on your list for the first thing you got up?
Well, the first thing I wanted to mention was just real quick. Over the course of this past week or so, we've had three big movies wrap. Today it was announced that Aquaman just wrapped filming. Earlier in the week, Solo, the Han Solo movie, wrapped filming. And just over a week ago, Deadpool 2 wrapped filming.
Ah, see, I didn't hear it about Deadpool 2, but I did catch the other two.
Yeah, so we've big ones that finally wrapped, and now they're into post. There was one question about Deadpool was the fact that when it wrapped, Ryan Reynolds posted a picture on Instagram that was kind of in a dressing room. And in the back of the picture is a whole line of Deadpool outfit because of, you know, different points in the film. Some are cleaner, some are dirtier, some are wrecked. There's a couple of suits in that lineup that are definitely clean. Red. So the question has come up whether in Deadpool 2 at some point does Deadpool get his white/pale gray X-Force costume, because we know X-Force movies coming up too.
Interesting. Well, isn't that where Cable came from originally? Also, was X-Force?
Yeah. Well, Cable was part of he was part of X-Force. He was earlier than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they were brought together.
Well, when does Deadpool come out?
So there's it comes out next June.
Okay. So
yeah, they pushed it from February, even though it would have been a success in February again. They've pushed it to true blockbuster territory, and it's in June next year.
Cool. Well, the other one that actually, it's awesome to see those, but the one that surprised everybody was Star Wars The Last Jedi. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, did a final wrap of all production period. They're done, which is amazing, 2 months out from the release. Usually they're working on stuff up to the week before, sometimes 2 or 3 days before the premiere.
That's true. That's true. And actually, if we're going to talk about that one, news this week of a bit of a sneak peek that fans can get a month ahead of time, that Disney is adding scenes to its Star Wars ride.
Oh, to Star Tours.
In all of the parks. Basically, they're adding a Jedi battle scene that's from The Last Jedi.
Okay.
And so part of the ride puts you right into this battle, and it's going to be in the U.S. parks on November 17th and Disneyland Paris on November 22nd. So it's before the movie comes out that you'll actually get to see a significant clip from it.
Huh. I wonder if that's going to be part of the flashback, because we know that we see in the second trailer shots similar to what we saw in the first movie with the burning temple that Luke is sitting there watching. And you can assume was his Jedi Academy or whatever it was that Kylo Ren had destroyed. So I'm wondering if that's not the battle that they're going to show.
Well, I can. The only other bit of info they had about it was that it's on the planet of Crait.
Okay.
So I don't know what significance that's. It's an epic battle on the planet of Crait.
Interesting. Well, we know Crait's got a large part of this, and Crait could be where his temple was. I don't know. We'll find out here. Anybody who goes to the parks next month, anybody who's watching the movie in 2 months.
Right. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Like, they've never really, in not even just Star Wars, but most movies wouldn't release a big scene like that that far ahead of time. So yeah. I think it's kind of interesting they're doing that to really kind of pump people up for it.
Yeah. And Vicky had some Disney news,
and
too.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yep. No, I was just going to say, it gives Disney the boost of getting people into the park just to see that.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
What did you have, Vicky?
That goes into my Disney boost. They're trying out a special now where people can bring their dogs to Disney. And they have doggy daycare and a bunch of other packages and stuff that they can get. The dogs get, like, dog bowl and toys and spa days and all that stuff now.
Yeah, for the different resort hotels.
Yeah, I said something about that because, like, Disney has always had the ability to kind of kennel your dog if you bring it with you. But I did see something earlier this week about them kind of promoting more of the doggy daycare style thing. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, and like she was saying, you get like a Pluto gives you a gift bag for your dog and all kinds of fun stuff. I think they're actually pushing it so that people can say, hey, bring your dog with you.
And it's 2 per person.
What, 2 dogs per person can come?
2 dogs per person.
Oh, that's cool.
So right. we could bring all 3.
That's right. Well, I've been telling Vicky, it's like, I think we're going to, I'm going to start slowly talking to different travel people, the Disney planner type people. And maybe it's like, now's when I want to start planning if we're going to do it maybe in 2019 when Star Wars lands open, when Galaxy's End opens.
Don't worry about talking to planner people. Talk to the one who runs a certain network who lives in Florida, and he will get you codes for certain things.
Ah, well, I'll have to talk to him about that. But it's like, now's when we got to start planning this so that we actually have it all saved up so we can go in 2019.
Right.
Because I learned that a long time ago. If you're going to do an epic vacation like this, you start saving ahead of time. That way you're not broke for the next 6 years afterwards.
Oh, yeah. For Disney, you definitely have to save. Yeah.
Yes.
So, actually, I had one up, and this is still in Disney wheelhouse, was the Tron Legacy director, Joseph Kaczynski was actually talking about Tron 3 a little bit, gave an update on where we're at. I don't know if you saw this one. Hang on a second.
No.
I didn't think we were going to even get a Tron 3.
Well,
yeah, they've never stopped talking about it.
Yeah, they're still talking about it, but as of right now, it looks like it's they've pretty much said it officially. He's even stepped away from it now. He was talking with Coming Soon about his latest movie, which is Only the Brave, and talked and he was talking a little bit about what's tentatively titled Tron Ascension right now, because fans have been wanting this for a long time, and I guess Jared Leto has been talking big because he wants it to be in it. But as of right now, it's pretty much dead. Disney is not really interested in it. The movie never made it past the script stage. So they pretty much put the nail in the coffin for the moment. So right now, that's not news, but at least it's something that is not going to be sitting out there. Everybody saying, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Some of the quotes they have in here was Jared Leto was saying, it's something that we're in discussions about and very much looking forward to bring it to reality, but it's still in its very early days. Everything, they've never made it past a script, so he still wants it to happen, but until the executives say yes, it's not going anywhere. And especially Kaczynski's schedule right now is pretty busy because after Only the Brave that comes out now, he's starting on Top Gun Maverick for 2019 with Tom Cruise. And then Leto, we know, has Blade Runner 2049 that just came out. And he's supposed to possibly be back for a Joker Harley spinoff movie and Suicide Squad 2. So everybody's a little busy right now. So Tron is still going to take a long time before we actually see it again, which sucks because I enjoyed Tron. Myself.
Well, you know, the thing was there was an animated series that took place right after the second Tron movie. Yeah. And I thought the animated series did well.
Yeah, Uprising was awesome.
But it didn't seem like Disney was really behind it, because there was talk about immediately getting Tron 3 out there, and then they kind of started backing back from it, and it's even more so. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I mean, took 20 plus years for a second Tron movie to come out.
I think they didn't get as much of a return and the positive feedback that they wanted from it to be able to put the third one out right away. The amount of time it takes to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And the amount of money. I mean, these are very huge effects movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's completely effects, really.
It is.
Every scene has it.
And the thing with Tron, what it's going to be is the fact that it's never going to be the big mainstream tentpole movie. But it's always, the original one was pretty big when it first came out, but it dropped off quick. But it became this cult thing that if you knew what it was, that's cool. And that's what Tron Legacy is becoming.
Disney had in there, it was like the first movie that, it wasn't all CG, but it was heavily CG.
No, there was no CG in the original. That was all practical.
That was all practical?
Yeah. That was practical, practical in animation.
It was animation. It wasn't CG.
It was traditional animation.
There was no computer animation at the time.
Oh, no, you're right.
Well, there was, because The Last Starfighter was the first one to use amounts of CG. Which is kind of funny if you watch it now.
You had that.
Yeah.
You had that, then you also had two or three video games spun off from that movie alone. The arcade.
Yeah, the big one is the arcade game.
And I think there were even some action figures that came out of that too. So they got a little bit of mileage off of Tron, I think, more than they expected. And then once it hit VHS, that also took off there too. And it's held a place in the hearts and minds of people of our generation, because there was never a movie like that before.
Well, and it was the subject matter that got people, though, because it was a time when you had a lot of movies coming out regarding video games.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was riding that as well. Because you had Last Starfighter, you had War Games, you know, you had it was riding that kind of all around the same time they were coming out.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it.
Then that dipped.
Well, that was also the explosion of the personal home computer. Because you got to remember, this was early 80s when the Apple IIe was first coming out. What was it? Coleco had their computer. Everybody, Tandy had theirs. The TRS-80 had just come out. And everybody was like, where is computers going to go because it was exploding so fast? What is the actual future of this? So any of these could have been actual possible futures. What's the chances that someone did get pulled into the computer? What would it look like inside there? So
I don't doubt that we'll eventually get that third movie. I don't know.
The thing is, at this point, though, the Tron movies have to be really well scripted and yes. good story, because that, you know, getting inside a video game thing, that's not, people don't really care about that as an aspect of the movie so much anymore. That's not going to grab the audience.
That's not as unique as it
with
was.
With all this other, exactly, all the other sci-fi you get and all the other kind of movies you get now, that's not going to grab anyone. So they have to have a really good story to get people in a third one. And that's probably why, you know.
If you just want to see someone getting inside a video game, you just go watch Wreck-It Ralph 2. Ralph there Breaks the Internet. And that's coming next month, next year.
There you go. See?
So,
Disney will get you either way.
That's right.
That's true.
So do we have any more Disney news? Wait, I'm looking to see what ones I have up here. I don't think I don't have anything from Disney or Lucasfilm or Marvel. You guys probably have some more Marvel.
Technically speaking, I have Marvel. I don't have any more Disney.
Well, what do you got?
Well, it was confirmed by James Gunn that the next Guardians of the Galaxy, the Volume 3, will actually kick off the new phase of the Marvel Cinematic Story arc. The fourth Avengers movie, which we're getting the third one with Infinity War, and so it's the second Infinity War movie. The fourth Avengers movie will conclude the arc that basically started all the way back with Iron Man in terms of establishing the stories and bringing the Avengers together, etc. So it'll be, you know, phase four will be the new overarching storyline. And obviously, starting with Guardians of the Galaxy to some extent, then you're looking at a more cosmic storyline, at least a start.
Okay.
That was just a little news that he put that on Twitter and stuff. The other interesting thing was that in regards to Thor Ragnarok, which is coming this week, actually.
Next weekend.
It's next week after we record this next week.
Yes.
with Thor Ragnarok, I don't know if anyone saw this, but Mark Ruffalo was at the red carpet premiere last week, and he accidentally live streamed the audio from about half of the movie because he put his phone in his pocket.
I heard about that.
Which was fine. You know, he was all apologetic and stuff, but it sounds like he's just not good with technology, which is kind of funny considering the character he plays.
That's kind of funny because there's a lot more people in Hollywood that are like that than you think about.
Exactly. They don't worry so much about this technology stuff, you know? They have their social media, and then they can't figure it out from there. But they basically, Ruffalo has been a big part of creating what's going to be essentially a special Hulk trilogy storyline that starts with Thor Ragnarok. So instead of being about Hulk having his own movies to create storylines, they're just going to follow it through three other movies.
I heard that that's Kevin, actually, well, go ahead. Kevin Feige. No,
Kevin Feige had been talking to Ruffalo about this and talking about doing standalone films. And Ruffalo basically said, well, if we did anything with Hulk, this is where I think the storyline should go. And Feige liked it. So instead of doing standalone, they're fitting it in with the other movies that Hulk is showing up in. Well, because we know that. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I think part of that is the fact that the problems they would have with Marvel actually putting out standalone Hulk movies. Because technically, Universal still owns all the rights to Hulk. They're allowing Marvel to use it, but Universal still owns the character. So if anybody's going to make an actual Hulk movie, it's going to be them.
They're allowed to use Hulk in conjunction with other characters and can't do the standalone because of contract rights. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely part of the deal. But, you know, obviously they want to make sure to keep developing Hulk. So Thor Ragnarok, you know, based on the trailers, is partly a planet Hulk plot line with the battles and everything like that. And so they're looking at, you know, having Hulk evolve because of that. We know now that he's going to be speaking in Thor Ragnarok, but he speaks like he's a kid, like he's 5 or 6 years old. It's because he's just developing that. So in other movies, he'll develop for, it's kind of like seeing the evolution of Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy throughout the movies. You know, you don't need a standalone Groot film to see it because he's developing with the group itself. So, so they've confirmed it's actually going to be three movies where you're going to get a consistent Hulk storyline throughout it and have him developing possibly into Grey Hulk. I don't know. Because Grey Hulk was more intelligent, wasn't he?
Yeah. That was like Professor Hulk.
But Professor Hulk was green.
He was green after he was gray, wasn't he?
Right, yeah.
So yeah, that was when they actually combined him.
Yeah, because when he was gray, he was Mr. Fix-It. He was muscle for some gangster in
that
Vegas.
Might happen if we have to go through adolescent Hulk years.
That's true. That's true. You know?
The other Marvel thing was Marvel Fox related, that we got the trailer for the New Mutants.
Yes, yeah. I saw that. That's a straight up horror trailer.
It is. It seems to have confused a lot of people. But they said from the beginning New Mutants was going to be a horror movie. So they've stuck by it. It's actually going to be New Mutants is going to be the first of a trilogy of mutant horror movies. And each one's going to have a bit of a different tone to it. Mm-hmm. So New Mutants has this, you know, psychological, creepy, supernatural aspect to it. And then they're just going to go and examine, you know, the horror aspects further via the comics. So it'll be interesting to see what the other movies are. But yeah, so we have a Marvel horror movie coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually looks scary. That's what's kind of interesting.
It does. And the thing I like about it is I think that maybe they were partly influenced by the success of Legion.
Mm-hmm.
The first season of Legion, because it is very psychological, creepy, and you don't always know what's happening and what's in the characters' heads.
Mm-mm, you don't.
And I think that's what this trailer shows, because you're dealing with the one character, is it Mirage, who has
yes.
the demon bear?
Yeah, Mirage.
But it kind of is supposed to be loosely based on the demon bear saga. And it's very psychological and horror focused, but Mirage has all of this in her head. Like, she dreams about things happening with this demon bear and all these horrible things, and then some of them end up turning into reality and they're fighting them. So even in the trailer, you can't quite figure mm-hmm. out necessarily what's really happening, what might be in a character's head.
And Danielle Moonstar was part of that storyline too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I vaguely remember parts of that storyline. It was pretty creepy, you know.
And people don't realize, like, if you were to look at mutants from the mutant point of view, mm-hmm. based on how they get treated or what's happening to them internally,
mm-hmm.
it would kind of be a horror movie.
Yep,
probably.
It would,
especially
really
when you're first
would.
Developing powers and stuff. Like, out of nowhere, you're
yeah. You know, depending what your powers are, it's like you're suddenly setting fire to things around you, and you're like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah.
But they did actually have, even though the trailer's relatively short, and obviously we'll be getting a much longer one because it doesn't come out until April, it did have some Easter eggs. When you see the cemetery, all mm-hmm. the numbers on all the headstones obviously most likely represent just mutants that have died off in the house, or patients that have died off in whatever's going on there, mm-hmm. and they were just given numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually seem to focus on the grave that has 138 on it. New Mutants Volume 1, Issue 38, was a classic cover of mutants crawling into graves that had their names marked on the gravestone.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of something you really do need to know to get it, but it's a specific graveyard reference.
Oh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, you would
need. Oh, yeah, no, that was.
And of course, throughout it, there are references to the demon bear. Like, you actually see one of the characters wearing a bear-shaped necklace, which is actually, I believe, she wears in the comics as a reminder of what happened with the bear. So it, you know, the creature that's Mirage. It's the creature that she's battling. There's also the scratches down the face of the doctor at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's questionable whether those are a reference to the demon bear or a reference to the other character that popped up in the trailer, Wolfbane.
Yeah.
Played by Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones. So we also
and Doctor Who.
That's true. She was Doctor Who as well. So we also already know her awesomeness. But it's kind of a turn of character for her, because Rain Sinclair, that becomes Bane, is a very shy, reserved, very Catholic character.
Mm-hmm.
And she has trouble throughout her storylines with the Catholic aspect of things, because she can turn into a full-fledged werewolf kind of thing, goes on killing sprees, and of course the Catholic guilt sets in afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the question is, you know, the doctor you see at the end, maybe she's been scratched by wolfsbane. That's a possibility as well. Then you see a young version of the character Magic, who's also earlier in the trailer, the one with the blonde hair.
Right.
Who, by the way, is Colossus's sister, for anyone who doesn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see the young girl cuddling what seems to be a dragon. It could be a reference to Lockheed, the dragon that was Kitty Pryde's companion. So that could be a straight up just little Easter egg, or it could be the potential to bring Lockheed into a movie at some point in the future. Because Kitty Pryde actually dated Colossus, so there's a direct connection there. But.
Well, I think they even put that into X3, didn't they?
Well, they were
no, not Kitty and Colossus. No, what was Colossus' sister? I don't remember.
Magic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew his sister was a mutant also, but no, didn't they tease that Kitty and Colossus together in X-Men Last Stand?
They kind of hinted at something, but there wasn't enough of Colossus and Kitty in it together.
Yeah, they weren't in the movie very much. They just kind of vaguely hinted at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, Vicky's remembering now. No, it was. It was, what was that?
Iceman and Kitty, because they went skating together.
Yeah, Iceman was reaching out to Kitty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in the comics now, isn't Iceman gay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had one little thing.
So that's not April 13th.
Okay. Well, I have one that would finish up. This is out of the MCU, kind of, but this is from the land of Funko. All of us love our Funko Pops. Well, did you see the story the Generalissimo himself is getting his own line of Funko Pops based on his cameos from different movies?
Yeah.
The first three is going to be Stan Lee's military man from the Captain America, the First Avenger, the security guard from the Winter Soldier, and as a Zandarian from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And
did you see that he did a cameo in The Gifted?
Yeah.
He'll do a cameo anywhere they ask him to.
Well, yeah, but he hasn't really done television cameos.
Yeah.
So the fact that that surprised us when we were watching, which, by the way, The Gifted is really good.
We got to watch that still. We're trying to catch up on everything. It's just, there's a lot of stuff to watch.
Yeah. When we were watching that, all of a sudden he's like, he comes out of a store or something.
Yeah.
And we were just like, wait, this is Stan Lee. So that was it. But The Gifted, just as an aside, it is as much like Heroes as it looked like at first. So it's good. But yeah, the Funko Pops do look awesome. I saw that on Funko's Instagram earlier this week. But I believe they're Walmart exclusives.
Yeah, these are Walmart exclusives in the U.S. only right now.
Yeah, but you can likely buy online once they're out. So,
yeah, or they'll be on Amazon and eBay and everywhere else too. So.
Well, if you want to pay more for them, yeah.
Yeah, well, Amazon usually it's the same price. Well, I mean, nobody gets the Walmart price because Funko Pops at Walmart are like $8.50 or something like that.
Well, yeah, but it depends if Amazon's able to get the exclusive ones, because you might have to wait a couple months before they actually get those.
Yeah.
So you have to check Walmart first, but it'll give some of us who hate to shop at Walmart a reason to actually go to Walmart.
So, yeah, I saw that. It's like, we can't go by without mentioning Stan Lee getting his own Funko Pops.
True. That's true.
So,
long enough.
Yeah. Actually, I got another one. This one's actually Land of the Kaiju. And this, the one I got is from Universal. Right now, Universal, we know, is doing, they have the big Pacific Rim 2 coming out next in the winter. And they're still working on Godzilla 2 and Godzilla vs. King Kong for 2019 and 2020. All these movies are being put out by Warner Brothers, who actually own Legendary Films or Legendary Pictures.
Right.
Well, the director of Pacific Rim 2, Steven DeKnight, was actually talking about the possibility, what's the chance of the MonsterVerse and Pacific Rim universes coming together possibly at some point, because it's all about giant monsters. And the quote he had here was, "I won't say there's an Easter egg, but there's been a lot of discussion about the possibility of a crossover. Look, I think it would be fantastic to have Pacific Rim universe join Legendary's monster universe. It seems like a natural step. And part of the big overall plan after the third movie we've talked about is that it could happen. It's always a possibility. It's by far not a certainty. It's merely theoretical at this point. But as a fan myself, I would love to see that happen. This seems like it would be kind of a natural thing. I mean, of course, Pacific Rim is in the future of where we're at. where the Monster Universe takes place now. But it'd be kind of interesting to see if we could get some of the big monsters fighting each other at some point against the Jaegers.
Well, there's also the possibility that because Pacific Rim is in the future, you could either have some kind of, you know, wormhole time thing going on where they get shifted to the past.
That's true.
Or something from the past gets sent forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the type of movie that it would they could make a storyline make sense for that.
Mm-hmm. You just got to thaw Godzilla out, that's all.
Well, yeah, that's the classic Toho way to do it, is you send Godzilla goes to Antarctica, gets frozen. When they need him again, he gets thawed out.
There you go.
So maybe the...
Or he just happens to get thawed out because of some kind of massive catastrophe that happens in the future with the Pacific Rim people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when he shows up.
That you could have the Jaegers fighting a kaiju in the area, and because they crack the ice, because when they finally do beat the kaiju, and all of a sudden you got this monster that's even bigger than the kaiju that they've released.
It tries to take everybody
There's
out.
There's a lot of ways they can. That's right.
Godzilla stories write themselves sometimes. This actually, I read this story, then I was like, you know what? We got to put this in here for our friend Greg, who keeps complaining that we don't put any monster movie stuff on our show.
That's true. He does complain we do a lot of superhero stuff. We can't help it. We're into that.
Yeah. But I like Godzilla stuff. It just doesn't always pop up on my radar.
That's right. It's, you know, sometimes the story comes up.
That's right.
We just need a good movie where Godzilla wins.
That's right. What I'd love to see the Pacific Rim and the Godzilla and King Kong Monsterverse come together, but I want to see Voltron and Robotech first. Because after I saw the original Pacific Rim, it's like, you could do this.
I have a graphic of Voltron and Robotech together.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. The movies are written.
Well, yeah. On the newsstands or on the comic shops right now, there is the Robotech Macross saga is being redrawn and re-released. They're doing the original story just with new artwork and stuff.
I'm getting that series.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they up to? Like issue 4 or 5 already?
I think three or four.
It looked interesting. I haven't had a chance to pick it up, but so what else you got, Miss Dawn?
Well, my last bit of TV news, because most of it seems to be TV news.
Yeah.
Well, my last bit is non-Marvel, completely non-Marvel related. And it's Rick and Morty related, because we never really talk about Rick and Morty, and I know I'm the only one who actually watches it, although Kyle
watches it. I need to. You guys are not the only ones that have told me this.
Well, the thing is, I have a feeling you might not like it too much. But
I don't think you will.
Knowing what you usually like, I'm not so sure, but give it a shot. Anyway, the last week, the Rick and Morty season 3 finale came out, and the question is whether it was really a finale, because it didn't really wrap up one of the major storylines from the past season, which, you know, is what a finale is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's this whole theory about this, because the first episode of season 3 was a surprise drop on April Fool's Day this past year. Mm-hmm. No one knew it was coming out, and all of a sudden, boom, Rick and Morty season 3 was starting. And then, after that first episode, the rest of the episodes didn't come around until July. So this is a show that's known for taking damn time getting the new seasons out. But there's a theory that because of that surprise premiere episode, there will be a surprise real finale episode that will pop up sometime around Christmas. And the reason that's the timing that people are talking about is because at the end of this finale episode, you had the character Mr. Poopy Butthole, and yes, that's the name of the character. You had him in a epilogue talking about how that was the end of the season, and that, you know, you won't see him again in for a long time when he has a long white Santa Claus kind of beard and a lot of grandkids around him. So just stay tuned for season 4. Well, the big hint there is he said Santa Claus for no reason, because he could have just said a long white beard.
Yeah.
And so that's a tip off that perhaps we're getting something around Christmas. So we might get a true season 3 finale, or it actually give us the season 4 premiere and then just delay the rest of the season a bunch of months like they did this year. And the basically what we're looking for, I'll tell you this, is we need some kind of like epic closure to this whole evil Morty issue that's been going on. And it's spoiler, if you haven't watched it, you won't know what I'm talking about anyway. So, there's this whole evil Morty issue that came up in an episode from this past season called the Ricklantis Mix-Up that basically involved the Citadel of Ricks and this mass destruction and all this other stuff going on. And it was discovered how evil Morty came to be, and we need that concluded in some way. So anyway, stay tuned. If I hear anything else about Rick and Morty with one more episode for this year, I will let people know. But until then, go ahead and seasons 1 and 2 are on DVD. And of course, season 3 just ended. So you'll either have to do the on demand or wait for it at this point.
Well, I know at some point I need to watch it because I've seen some of the games that are coming out for it, the board games and things that looked awesome, different party games and things. It's like it'd be nice to have some reference if I'm going to try one of these.
Yes,
they have one board game out that's specifically related to one episode of the show where more and more characters keep showing up in the episode as it goes on, and so the board game is about being all the various and sundry characters and figuring out who's real and who's part of the plague that's affecting the family and creating all these other characters.
So it
looks like kind of like a fun game, but
cool.
That's the last of my geeky news.
That's all you had?
I have one more local thing, but if you have other general geeky news,
I had a little bit, one for Netflix, but it's not a huge one. What do you got for local? I mean, we got plenty of local fans.
Well, it has to do with Mother Oyth, so that's why I'll let you finish off the
other. Well, go ahead. The other one wasn't a big one anyway, so.
Okay. For those of you who know that, you know, we are part of the Mother Oyth Studio Creations at this point, and you know all about Oddmall, and you know all about Con of the Cob, or at least you should by now, or you've not been paying attention.
Yeah, if you're listening to this show, and you've listened any amount of time, and you have never heard of Oddmall and Con of the Cob, what have you been listening to?
There's a problem. But Andy Hopp, our good and I guess you could say benefactor, has released this week on Facebook that the Assembly of Odd will be opening in December. We've given hints and clues about this in the past. It is the on-location, open, all-year-long, mini version of Odd Mall that's going to be a bit of a shop and its own little party center and
recording studio, and
yes, it has room for us to record.
We will have we will at some point in the future have a brand new Mother Oyth Creation Studios, and we will not have to Skype anymore ever.
So the Odd Mall Outpost Assembly of Odd, and if you see a picture of the building, you'll know why that name is funny. Here's the description. It's a consignment shop overflowing with art, crafts, toys, geeky things, oddities, and other exciting and wonderful jazz. If you're an artist, crafter, or purveyor of anything odd, unique, geeky, or interesting, you can get consignment information to actually put your stuff in the store. It's a flat-out consignment shop. Andy has some great terms for the sales and all that kind of thing. The store itself is 6,000 square feet, and it's located in Akron/Green, Ohio. And it will have 2,000 square feet of dedicated event space. So they're not only going to have us there for a bit of, you know, our recording studio stuff, but there's room for parties. There's room for art workshops and crafting demos and gaming gatherings and music performances and community meetups and whatever else you may be in the mood for. And you can find all the information online at oddmalloutpost.com.
Now that cut out a little bit, so hang on a second. That cut out. That's oddmalloutpost.com.
Yes.
Because Skype doesn't like it.
Yep. Skype's not letting us promo anything. It has all the information about the shop, the location. There's a tab at the top that says consignment, where you can go and fill out, find out the terms of consignments and fill out stuff. Andy's looking to fill it as soon as possible. He wants to get all sorts of things in there for when it opens. He doesn't have a specific opening date, grand opening kind of thing yet. He will soon. Like I said, he mentioned December because he wants to have a big party for it as well, which I'm sure he'll just welcome the entirety of Ohio and surrounding areas too.
Yes, but we will let you know when that party's coming, because this will be a huge party.
It can now officially be announced, because Andy has put it out there, has created the website. So again, it's oddmalloutpost.com for all your odd needs.
This is going to be fantastic, because we've known about this for the last year. Because everybody knows we hang out with Andy anyway. Andy's part of the cast of characters that we have just randomly show up on the show anyway.
Right.
So we've known about this for a while, and I'm looking forward to this.
Well, it's been an interesting journey, because I remember when he first told me what he was thinking about doing. I'm like, really? And he showed me the building. I'm like, okay. And and things with Andy move really fast. So it goes from idea to
reality.
You know, and I'm just, you know, and so.
Well, things with Andy move fast as long as Andy can keep them moving. But then he gets tied up with, you know, paperwork from the city, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what delayed things a little bit.
Right. But, you know, things kept moving forward, kept moving forward. And here we are. And, you know, not that Andy doesn't have a ton of other things going on already, you know, but.
And of course, being that this is a shop and, you know, a standard location kind of thing, if you're outside of the area, look up the website and the consignment sheet to see about sending stuff in. There's no reason you can't do that. So, you know, no matter where you are, far and wide, they'd love to have your stuff. And it's the sort of stuff that obviously you wouldn't get exposure for at Odd Mall if you can't be there in person to be a vendor. So this way you can send it and have it for sale in the shop on a consignment basis, and you can get more exposure in the Ohio area.
Yeah, and so the beauty of it is, because everybody loves Odd Mall, and this is an opportunity for to have that bit of Odd Mall on a regular basis instead of every other month or once or twice a year. No, depending on.
If you're in an Odd Mall mood, you'll have a place to go at any time.
That's right. Exactly. Anytime. Well, so
since we have the event space.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Well, since we have the event space there, I could see, because Andy is not the only game designer that we're friends with. I could see us having game launch parties here regularly. We got Mike McFarland. Yes. Pests will be in sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. He's actually going to get his shipment of pests finally. So he's going to be launching
stuff.
It.
Hmm? We've got Marcus.
Yeah, we got Marcus could launch new books there. We got our buddy Rob Turk could do game releases. All this stuff could be done at this space.
Oh, and speaking of, don't forget Rob Turk's Kickstarter for Purgatory House. I think it's got probably around 10 days left to go. So go to Kickstarter.com and look up Purgatory House and go ahead and get your copy.
It's going pretty good on that, too. If you guys want to know what Purgatory House is, go back, listen to our last episode, because Kylan actually sat down and played it at Odd Mall in Toledo.
As we were busy playing.
It was awesome. I did. It was awesome. I was telling some of the people in my book club about it, because even if you're not even if you've never played an RPG, it doesn't matter, because the way the system is laid out is the perfect party game to just pick up and play. And
no dice.
All you need are two decks of cards. Understand the rules of blackjack.
I would say this is the first role-playing game to use no dice, but I think I have one downstairs that also uses it, but it's a deck of unique cards that came with it that you use.
Right.
So this is the first one with no... Yeah.
Yeah, these are two standard decks of playing cards. Everyone has playing cards lying around the house.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just got another set of playing cards in my Marvel Collector Core box for Thor Ragnarok, for goodness sake. But, I mean, for just a $10 pledge level, you can get the PDF that can get you going on the whole game. You don't, if you only have a few bucks to spare, $10 will get you the game.
Yeah. And you just print, I think the way he usually does that is he gives you the way to print the cards and glue them to playing cards. Because there is cards that go with this that help tell the story.
Right.
Right, right. But I think they might actually be larger than playing cards, though.
Yeah, okay.
From what I saw in the video he had, they were a bit larger.
Oh, yeah, some of the...
Like the scenarios and the character sheets, that all comes with the PDF for $10.
Right.
Yeah.
And $30 gets you the hardback book plus everything in hard copy as well as the PDF. So it's a good deal for a game.
It really is. But anyway.
Well, one more thing before we wrap up that I do want to plug also, because we haven't plugged it as much as I was hoping we would, was remember the Maple Grove Haunters. You have only a couple days left to go check out this yard haunt. As of right now, you have 1 weekend left. If you go down to East Canton, Ohio, go to MapleGroveHaunters.com. This is a family-friendly event. All the money and all the proceeds for this go to St. Jude's Hospital, which is an awesome research hospital to help kids with cancer and other terminal diseases and stuff. So
yeah, and I think they run, I don't know if they run it every night this week, but they do usually run it on Thursday and Friday nights as well as on the weekends.
Right.
Yeah.
So well, I just pulled up. Wait till like Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I pulled up the calendar. Let me see the event. Oh, they have an event calendar. I'm on their website right now. So and it doesn't have anything on there as their event calendar. But
most places throw those calendars up and never fill them out.
Yeah. Well, they have. The hours of operation is Thursdays from 7 to 9, Fridays from 7 to 10, Saturday from 7 to 10, and Sunday from 7 to 9. And October 31st is – or no, they don't have Sunday. It's just – okay. Oh, both the 29th and the 31st are going to be for 7 to 9. So they are open on the 29th and 31st also. So they will be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday – I believe that's Monday and Tuesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, yeah, they are going to be open all weekend. Starting Thursday of the 26th, all the way through the 31st, they will be open every night. So, and this is something that you take the whole family to and afford. You have a family of five, that's fine. Anybody 16 and over is only $3. 6 to 15 is only $2. So a family of five, you can go and do this for less than 15, 20 bucks.
Because you're going to want to go a couple times through.
And you can go through two or three times and still be less than if you went to go see a movie.
That's true.
You know, it's perfect for this time of year. Why not?
Go That's ahead. Right. Go help out the kids, guys.
And fun. If you're in the region, it's nice and close. So mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, check out MapleGroveHaunters.com for all the information about that. So actually, we're about the right time. Did you guys have anything else before we wrap this up?
I think we're done for now.
Nah, I think we're good, man.
Okay. Vicky, did you have anything else for
tonight?
Yeah,
I got an alien trying to escape right now. A little xenomorph going crazy.
Okay. Well, geeksters, remember, you can always find us at geekwatch1.com. Any social media, anywhere, everywhere. GeekWatch, or search GeekWatch1, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you find a search bar and you put in GeekWatch1 and you don't find us, let us know and Miss Dawn will take care of the problem. You can also email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We're members of the Weeby Geeks and Tangibound Networks at weebygeekspc.com and tangiboundnetwork.com. I'm trying to remember. Is there anything else I usually put in there? I think that's the wrap-up.
I think that's everything, dude.
I used to write this down.
Jeez, it's only been a week for you, but like a month for me, and I even remember.
Well, like I said, Miss Dawn, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
It was a fun show. Just sit back, relax, and just geek out a little bit. So remember, come out to the Malted Meeple next weekend. Look it up on Facebook as the Malted Meeple. I'll have an event up there sometime in the next day or two as of recording. So by the time you guys hear this, it will be up. Come out, check it out, hang out with us, have a milkshake. Hey, wear a costume. Why not? And for that, for Kylan and Miss Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember,
don't bite.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Don't bite people.